Opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Microphone working?
Yeah, we are on the air. It is working. Hey, this is Greg Compo filling in for David Pruse, who was at a fat bald guy convention, I think, somewhere. I said that yesterday. I'm sure I'll hear back. When he asked me to host for him, it's a crapshoot because I usually make some good jokes. But anyway, I guess I'm not sure what city he's in, but it is a gathering of fat bald guys. And he's, I think, the guest speaker. So just kidding. Anyway, this is a Problem Corner. It's Tuesday, the 5th of August, and I have with me one of my favorite guests. I have tried to get on at least every 4 or 5 weeks, Captain Eric Spitzer of the Alaska State Troopers. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Happy to be here.
And as you always say, business is good. I love that.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
I would say that when I was selling snow machines,
yeah.
And it was true. It's not as good a thing when business is good with the state troopers. I mean, that means you got too much business, right?
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on. What's new? You haven't been on for a while.
Well, I like to start off with spin a little yarn about a massive suck on our police resources that happened recently, a couple days ago, actually. We had a fella come up here from Texas. And he told his wife that he was, I'm not going to mention any names or anything like that, but he told his wife he was going to go, he's going to Alaska on a wolf hunting trip in August.
Okay.
So I guess maybe
red flag.
Yeah, red flag. So he told his wife that he was coming with another guy only so that she would allow him to come because she didn't want him to go by himself. So he said, no, I'm going with another guy. There's another guy involved. I'm going to meet him up there or something. So he gets a one-way ticket from Texas to Alaska, gets a rental car in Anchorage, supposed to have it back in one day, brings it to Fairbanks, goes to Walmart, and I may have some of these details kind of mixed up, but goes to Walmart or one of the stores here in town and gets himself one of those inflatable rafts, not the kind that you do white water with, but the kind that you do like, I don't know, maybe float on the China and then it gets popped and then that's it for that, you know, a one-timer.
Cheap raft,
yeah. Maybe like a swimming pool raft. So he gets in the raft, two rafts actually, with a bunch of little like Coleman stoves and some hot dogs and stuff like that he bought. And he got in the Tanana River.
Okay.
So already you're probably like, all right. He manages to get... I'm impressed, actually. He made it 3 miles down the Tanana River before he popped his raft and ended up on an island down there back in the slough. And he texted his wife that he had been captured by someone and him and his friend were being tortured.
Oh, God.
And on his texting it on the phone. And then some other good Samaritans, like 12 of them in a couple boats... or a boat. I'm assuming that since there was 12, there were several boats. But anyway, they saw him there naked on the beach. Anyway, this guy, we go out with the helicopter late the other night, find him, recover him, and he's sticking with this story. He's hypothermic, you know, and I was surprised that he was alive.
I hope that explains why his clothes were out.
I think, yeah,
okay,
that's
yeah,
probably
that
has something to do with that.
Thermic, right?
But I mean, like, a whole bunch of people saw him with, you know, nothing on from the waist. Anyway, so then he tells us that, yeah, he escaped from this guy that was holding him hostage and that he was had been, like, zip-tied and all this kind of stuff like that. But there's no evidence of, like, ligature on his wrists or the story's just not coming together.
Yeah.
And, like, where's this other guy? Well, the other guy is still there. And it's like, so now we have to mount this giant investigation about, like, okay, where's this other guy? And, you know, we've had enough things happen in Alaska, like that stuff in Manly in 1984.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's sounded crazy in the beginning, too, I'm sure.
Yep.
So, and we know what happened as a result of that. So... Anyway, we're looking for this other guy, spent a bunch of time and resources
manpower,
and manpower. And I mean, we have the Alaska Bureau of Investigation. We got a criminal suppression unit. We got the troopers. We got the aircraft section involved, the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. We're out in boats.
Guy doesn't appear to be psychotic. He seems believable. It's hard to say.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it was from the beginning, it was not really believable.
Yeah. And then you have to treat it as it is.
Yeah. Right? Well, he's like, well, how did the whole question was like, how did you text your wife? If you were in flex cuffs behind your back,
yeah,
and like,
oh, yeah.
I use my tongue and press the phone. I'm like, and
yeah. Now it's
I start right. getting my phone out. I'm like, ah, is that even possible? So, anyway, you know, it's like some of these things. And sometimes people, you know, will talk to folks and they're like, oh, the troopers aren't doing anything. I reported this thing and they never showed up. And they're like, why didn't they? It's because of things like this, you know?
But can't this guy be arrested for making false statements or
well, let's put it this way.
Wasting taxpayer dollars?
Well, we took him over to Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, and he had a little pit stop on the fourth floor, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
So
okay.
There's some other issues in line there. And what I told the troopers, I was like, you know what? Make sure he makes that flight. Make sure he gets on that flight back to Texas. Make sure he gets on the plane and goes and, you know, out of here. But
let me ask you something on something like that. Now, his wife reported this.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't she have a responsibility to say, yeah, this guy's a little bit off?
And that's the thing. She didn't, as far as we know, she had no idea that her husband was having a problem.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, like, there's going to be late in life, people can have an onset of, like, schizophrenia and other, like, you know, maybe drug-induced paranoia and things like this. But it was just really weird. Like, he got a U-Haul, brought it from Anchorage up to Fairbanks, left it here with a bunch of his camping stuff inside of it. And, like, you know, I get it. Like, he's obviously in crisis, but
how many officers had to be involved here? You obviously got a pilot and a...
Like, pretty much everybody.
Wow.
Pretty much everybody that was on duty
what
at that time.
What a great time to rob a bank. Huh?
Right? Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway, we figure out that, you know, he doesn't have a friend and that he was just telling his wife that so that she would let him go. And it was like, well, why did you continue with this story? Like, why did you continue pushing this and wasting police resources and efforts? And, like, we got, like, investigators working on this. Criminal intelligence unit is working on it out of Anchorage.
I mean, if you add up all the dollars just in
In we got boats in the water, the wildlife troopers out there.
Fuel, you got a helicopter.
Wow. Searchers, you know, and we're looking for, like, mobilizing ground searchers. People getting called at 11, 12 o'clock at night.
So the point is, of all of this, is...
Don't
waste law enforcement's time, you know? I mean, if you got a real emergency, like I had what I thought was an emergency. I told you about it. I was at the fair and somebody rear-ended the cab behind me. Uh-huh. It was a pregnant woman with two kids in the car that caused the accident. And the airbag went off. Now, that can be an emergency, right?
Yeah.
So I called right away. And, I mean, they were there with Trooper Zero within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Blocked the car. We got the cars off the road. She was okay. But at the time, she seemed a little stunned. But.
Yeah,
you know, you never know. You've got to, like that, you know, you want help there in case she's bleeding internally or something.
So, but I wanted to segue that search and rescue. Oh, we got
to
go.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to a break in a minute. I wanted to get that story in, though, because that's a good example of how you guys can't do your job if you're chasing a crazy man or a crazy guy or something
in crisis.
Like that.
In crisis.
So anytime you hear somebody go, oh, troopers won't do nothing, maybe they're out dealing with a psycho like this guy. But
when we come back from break, let's talk. I want to segue into search and rescue and how we can, like, I want to kind of put the...
And I have some search and rescue questions, actually,
awesome.
I put together. So we'll talk. This is Craig Compo filling in for David Pruse, and this is Problem Corner. The first half hour, and we're going to go to a break. We'll be back after a few minutes and follow up with some questions for my favorite guest, Captain Eric Spitzer. So stick around. More Problem Corner coming up on KFAR 7.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Today's Valley's Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49 State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote. Serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. A silver salmon has been caught from the shores of
Let's talk about it.
This is Fox of KVAK Radio with a fishing update for you. Vicki Martell is looking forward to fishing in the Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby this Saturday. Why? Because, well, the fish are in. She said, I'm hoping the fish are going to be a good size. Fishing's been really good so far this year, she said, and we didn't have to go super far out. The Valdez Women's Silver Salmon Derby will draw anglers from all over the United States and Alaska to compete for the crown queen of the silver salmon sisterhood. Last year, Lindy Vitatow of Valdez won with a 12-pound silver salmon. She took home cash, prizes, a tiara, and a pink bathrobe fit for a queen. The largest silver salmon caught so far in the Valdez Silver Salmon Derby is a 13.08-pound silver caught by Brody Kilberg of Scottsdale, Arizona. Michael Frierksen of Valdez is currently in second place in the Silver Derby with a 13.02-pound fish he caught July 27th. Crystal Rowe of Valdez is holding on to third place with a 12.82-pound silver she caught July 28th. With the silvers in and a large number of women going out for the Women's Derby Saturday, there are likely to be some big fish on the board for the Women's Derby.
Go fishing, Valdez! Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze!
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered storms today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 72. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, lows level off around 54. Mainly cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
All right, Craig Kompel back filling in for Dave Prues on Problem Corner. He's at the FBGA, which is a Fat Bald Guy Association meeting. Yeah. Somewhere. Sorry, Dave, if you're listening. I shouldn't do that. He's cooking me dinner Thursday night. Now I'm going to have to question what's in it. I'll probably get sick afterwards. No, he's a phenomenal cook, as you all know. But anyway, I'm here with Captain Spitzer. We're talking shop, when shop means law enforcement. And so we talked about how the public can really waste your time.
Yeah.
And what else is on your list? I know we have... We have a lot going on this time of year. We had the fair. Hopefully no fatalities or...
Would you hear about that ride that shocked a kid?
No.
Yeah, some like 12-year-old got shocked on the... Don't stay off that... Well, I don't want to say what ride it is, but it's called Ring of Fire.
Okay. Okay.
My kids are like, Dad, we're going to the fair. No, you're not.
Wow.
Not without adult supervision. Like, you're going to have adult supervision over there. There's... I love the fair as much as anyone, but there's some sketchy stuff that goes on over there.
Oh, yeah.
We had a situation where a kid got electrocuted on this carny ride and wow. Was resuscitated, thank God.
Holy cow, that's severe.
I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah, and then, there's been some sexual assaults that have happened over in the... There's like some... Not far from the fair, there's like a homeless area over there where somebody got sexually assaulted. Not during the fair, but prior to it.
And I remember hearing about that.
You should see our dinner conversations at the Spitzer house. Is like, listen, girls, like, you know, no, you're not going over there alone. And I would, you know, I want to kind of segue that into all the parents that are out there listening to this right now. There is some garbage going on in Fairbanks that we got to fix. Because if we're not careful about this, we're going to end up being like Anchorage.
Oh,
and I don't want
mess.
That.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
You read about it every day in Anchorage, every day. And they're building all these shelters for the homeless folks now, and they're doing all this stuff. And it's just like 3,000 homeless people in Anchorage, I heard.
Yeah.
3,000.
Oh, I believe it,
there.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, there was a homeless camp over there by Johansson and the Stees. And this was like 2 years ago. The cleanup for that... The private property owner that cleaned up that homeless camp, guess how much it cost? $37,000 to clean that up. Wow. It was like 12 dumpsters, 40 cubic yard boxes of all this crap. And it's all like, what's happening is they're going in, hanging out at the transfer site, and then taking junk out of the transfer site and dragging it down the road to, you know, in the woods. And the same thing's happened over there at Farmers Loop, you know, by the fair, by that one. But in addition to kind of like staying on top of that stuff, the most of the problem is getting in touch with the property owner and saying like, hey, like, you can criminally trespass these people from your property and like get them on out of there and don't let them, you know, put down roots and this thing grows into a giant problem. But it's like a lot of property owners either don't know or don't care. And we just got it. Like, you know, that broken window theory. Did you ever hear about it?
No.
Okay. So broken window theory is like, it starts in a big city and you have an industrial area, let's say Detroit. Okay. Hypothetically. So yeah, an industrial area, a bunch of kids are playing around. There's an abandoned, industrial building or something like that, warehouse. And one kid throws a rock, breaks a window, broken window. Everybody sees there's a broken window. Look at that. Thing's broken. Who owns it? I don't know. Does anyone care? No one cares. Not mine. And that broken window goes from one broken window to five broken windows to all the windows broken. Then it goes into like drugs, homeless people, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, prostitution. Before you know it, the whole area is just gone, and you can't recover, can't get it back. And you got, and what I say, every one of my business cards on the back of it says, you see something, say something. Right. You got to say something. You got to let us know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to segue from that into this problem that I'm talking about, what they have in this, in the Fairbanks community lately, is that these young adults, mostly men, young men, 16, 17, 18 years old, are getting together and doing these juvie parties. Now,
doing the what? Juvenile parties.
Juvenile parties.
Yeah.
All right. And here's the difference between these juvenile parties and our juvenile parties. Our juvenile parties, when we grew up, were roughly the same age-ish, within probably 10 or 15 years. We'd go out, maybe get a hold of a case of Budweiser, maybe a bottle of whiskey or something like that.
No, I was at church.
You were at church. Yeah, right. And
I tried to say it with a straight face. We had keggers all the time,
right,
that kind of thing.
You know, I mean, we're cops. We realize it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't want it to happen, but yeah, I kind of wish we had problems like we used to have back in the 80s or 70s or 80s. Because now what's going on is we got these juvenile parties where these young men, and I say young men, they're showing up with ballistic armor, body armor, AR-15s, AR-15 pistols, gang-related stuff, shooting into the woods while, you know, kids are in the woods, like taking a leak and walking around in the woods and campers and tents and bonfire parties. I don't have a problem necessarily with the bonfire thing. What I have a problem with is the dangerous shooting in dangerous, in just like unknown directions. And it's, stuff's going on. You know where it's going on out 9 Mile, the levee. It's going on up at Esther Dome. It's going on up at Gilmore Trail. It's going on. The thing is, you never know where it's going to go. And what I'm asking the public to do is pay attention. And if you see a bunch of pickup trucks loaded up with pallets and a bunch of, you know, young men and women that are looking like they're up to no good.
All heading in the same direction.
In the same direction. Let us know ahead of time rather than us responding after there's a report of gunfire at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And a bunch of booze in them,
And a bunch of booze. And I wish that it was just booze.
Yeah.
But what's happening is there's drug trafficking that's going along with it. There's methamphetamine. There's fentanyl. There's, you know, smoking weed and all that other business. But And the problem is when our parties got broke up when we were kids, you just went home or, you know, just like that was it. We're done. But now this generation, kids can communicate through so many different apps and like WhatsApp and social media and Facebook and just telephones. We didn't have when I was growing up, we didn't have a cord. I didn't have a cellular phone. Like you had to make plans for that night at, you know, that.
Yeah.
Day at school
and
something.
And let alone Facebook where, you can quickly advise like a mob. Where the party's going to be.
Yeah, and it's like, boom, and it blows up, goes up over there. So what I'm asking the public to do is this is like a call to action. You know, this is going to get out of control, and what's going to happen is somebody is going to get seriously hurt. Someone's going to get shot, and what I'm talking about is like they're going to be shooting into the woods, and there's going to be a girl in the woods going to the bathroom or whatever. Someone's going to get shot accidentally or on purpose. And then everyone's going to say, why aren't the troopers doing anything? Yeah. Why aren't law enforcement doing anything? Why is this community not doing anything? And what I'm saying, this is a call to action right now. If have the conversations with your young children at the dinner table and say, listen, I'm hearing that this is going on. If you're involved in this, I'm telling you, knock it off.
Yeah.
Because I will tell you this real soon here, and I mean real soon, there are going to be some arrests made. I can guarantee you. There's going to be some arrests made. And these people that are running around with AR-15s and body armor and going out to these parties and doing all this stuff, they're going to be treated like adults when we contact them. Because whether they're adult or not, they're holding an AR-15 with body armor, and we're going to deal with that.
Then
when I mean, it's like it's if it's predictable, it's preventable. This is so preventable. Like, all we have to do is parents, be responsible parents and handle your children.
Yeah. Every one of these kids is somebody's kid.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they've got parents at home. They probably have a lot of them probably have no clue this is going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, they gotta stay on top.
And then when something happens, it's like, oh, the troopers are the bad guys, law enforcement, look what they're doing. They're victimizing my son or daughter. Yeah. No, we're not. Like, we're trying to take care of this community and reduce and by the way, it's all gang related too.
And they and people say, and the troopers aren't doing anything. Well, actually, they're out on an island on the Tanana. Listen to a guy explain how to use his cell phone with his tongue. If you missed the first part of the show, you'll have to go back and listen. But all right, so that's it. If you see something, say something. That's always a repetitive message. We want to.
Yeah, and if these guys want to wear body armor and run around with AR-15s, join the Marines, man.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to ask, we'll bounce back and forth between this here. Fire season hopefully is over, pretty much over.
Yeah.
But that puts a strain on you guys.
Well, man, for sure. In fact, I had a good friend who's down. He's got the Yamaha shop downtown there. And he was like, man, the other day we were calling about something in a homeless camp across the way.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't do nothing. And it was like, I said, you know why we didn't do anything at that time? Because we were all up at Himalaya evacuating, getting folks out of there. So I saw every day I get the report on the thing. And like one of the fires is like, I think it's like 32% confined. And the other one's like 41% or 47%. I can't remember. The weather has definitely been helping us out on this. It was looking pretty rough there. Things are moving towards Fairbanks this summer.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I know that always, you got a lot of different environmental factors that whether it's 40 below in the winter and people are on the side of the road, or if it's the fire season and you're trying to evacuate people, your resources get burned up pretty fast. And I know how many troopers short are you now?
So right now we've got 8 troopers that are on field training right now currently, okay? And when those 8 troopers graduate their field training evaluation program and go on, like, so they can take calls for service by themselves, we're still going to be 8 troopers short.
Okay.
So, like,
what percentage is that like in Fairbanks?
We're going to be down lingering in the area of like 50% staffing.
Wow. And you have some,
like 26.
Academy going, you have some new guys coming. I saw the, on your website,
we have 3.
There's 3 coming to Fairbanks?
3 coming to Fairbanks,
okay.
Yeah.
So that'll help a little, right?
Yep. The problem is we also have like 4 that are transferring out because we are a training post here in Fairbanks.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of folks don't realize that in the Fairbanks area here. I just got a call from a friend of mine today, actually. He was stopped for a headlight out and then found out that he didn't have his proof of insurance on him during the traffic stop. And, you know, it's like, wow, like, what's with the traffic stop for the headlight out? And I was explaining to him that, you know, this is a training post. So what we got to do is take these 8 recruits, and each one of them have to get like a certain number of traffic stops. We have to get them
starting early. We'll continue this conversation.
Yeah.
A little early. They broke early for the break. So this is Craig Compton with Eric Spitzer. We'll be back and talk Cop Shop in just a minute.
150 Texas House Democrats have left the state to stop a vote on a redrawn congressional map that could add more GOP seats ahead of the 26 midterms. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's threatening removal from office and issuing civil arrest warrants. Other outraged Democrats in Illinois, where some Democrats fled to, calling these new maps racially motivated.
It is a racial gerrymander. There is no difference in Texas, and it's important for everyone to know that this isn't just politics. This isn't just politics.
The Texas House reconvening this hour, by the way. In Montana, they're still searching for a man who they say gunned down four people at a local bar. Governor Greg Gianforte says the manhunt has expanded with hundreds of local, state, and federal officers getting involved.
I have no doubt that the department, Montana Department of Justice, will prosecute this killer to the full extent of the law.
They're looking for a 45-year-old male who is a veteran. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTOO reports Juneau police say DNA has identified human remains found in the Gastineau Channel more than 20 years ago. The state medical examiner's office confirmed last week that they are the remains of Daryl Bruce Fawcett, who has been missing since 1999. Fawcett was homeless in Juneau when he stopped contacting his family in September of 1999, according to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, or NAMIS. In 2004, a diver found human remains 83 feet underwater near Juneau's downtown cruise docks and Merchants Wharf, according to a JPD release. The remains have been in the state medical examiner's office since, but could not be identified with the available technology. The release says that in July, the medical examiner's office began using new technology that can extract DNA profiles from bones and teeth, and this allowed Fawcett to be identified. NAMIS shows four other sets of unidentified human remains found in Juneau between 2001 and 2017.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at NationalGuard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Whether you're flying or boating into your favorite fishing hole or just driving to the lake, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for all the fishing gear, licenses, permits, and stamps you'll need. Frontier's extensive fishing department has the conventional, fly, or saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska's streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean habitats. Rods and reels, lures and natural bait, lines and nets, dip netting supplies, even sunglasses. Frontier Outfitters has what you need for your successful trip, plus marine parts and equipment downstairs at Century Hardware. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Give it to me straight, Doc. I can handle it. Are you going to have to remove the whole thing?
Actually, I'll have your broken window fixed in no time. At Glass Doctor, we can handle it all, even custom glass.
Oh, thanks, Doc. You're a real lifesaver.
The doctor is in. Glass Doctor is on call for fast, full-service residential glass repair, replacement, and installation. Visit glassdoctor.com to make an appointment.
Call the Glass Doctor. We fix your panes. Oh, yeah.
A neighborly company.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
All right, welcome back, Fairbanks. Craig Compa with Captain Eric Spitzer. And sorry about that, sponsors. I had the volume down during some of those commercials. And no, it wasn't my ex-competitor, so that's just what it was. Anyway, if you have a question for Captain Spitzer, you're welcome to call in at 907-458-TALK. That's 458-8255. And ask him anything. Ask a cop, and he'll give you an answer. And
stump the chump.
Yeah, stump the chump is always. Anyway, we'll continue on a little bit on our conversation. We were talking about recruitment a little bit off the air You're always, that's always a big push. Anybody out there, it's either looking for a change of, you know, we sold our business and several of our employees took it as an opportunity to go a completely different direction. They got into construction or they got into something else. Some went and stayed in the industry with a competitor. But what would your message be for somebody that's maybe not a real bad guy, right? And wants to get into law enforcement.
My advice is that if you are an adventurous type spirit and you like to get out there, you don't want to work in an office all the time behind a desk. You want to get out, go into the field, like the wildlife troopers, they have, you know, boats and planes and helicopters and side-by-sides and four-wheelers and snow machines. And like their job is like awesome every single day. And every day is, if you're the kind of person that wants a different, like you don't want to sit at the same desk and do the same thing, you know, trying to make the donuts, you know, and actually getting out and helping people and meeting new and interesting people.
It's rewarding.
Yeah, it is absolutely rewarding. Like I say this often, I never lay in bed at night looking at the ceiling wondering if I made a difference, because every day you know you touch somebody and hopefully improve their life in some way or their situation. It is incredible. It is rewarding. It's financially it pays very well. Benefits are good. And if you're interested in becoming an Alaska State Trooper, just come down to 1979 Pegger Road, ask to speak with me or anybody else there, any other trooper, and we can schedule it for a ride along. You can go in, rather than us tell you what we do, see what we do.
Yeah.
Show you
what we do.
Yeah. They'll show you what we do, and like you get to see it firsthand. We recruit heavily on the base here at Fort Wainwright, Eielson.
Speaking of exciting days as a trooper, Trooper Norris had... He's in Bethel now?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about, he was one of our favorites up here. He was a great guy.
Yeah, I heard he's getting some kind of, I hope I'm not, this isn't like a, what's that called, a kill when you...
Buzzkill?
But not a buzzkill. No, not a buzzkill. what is that when you tell the end of a movie? Can't think of what it's called.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not wrecking a surprise, but he did something really heroic recently. I'm pretty sure he has an idea that the governor is going to give him an award.
Wow.
So there was a helicopter search. There was search and rescue for these folks that were like freezing, hypothermic, out in this boat. And they were like, I don't know, in some really sketchy area. And the pilot's like, look, we got 5 minutes of fuel to get back. We have 5 minutes. We have enough fuel to get back plus 5 minutes.
Wow.
So, and if we got to do something right now, or we're going to have to go back without them. Norris, he's like, just hover the helicopter above the water. He jumps out into the water. It's like waist deep, goes over, like starts getting these people who are hypothermic and like ferrying them over to the helicopter, putting them in the helicopter, and like just super, like superhero kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And he's such a hot rod. We like him anyway. he's a really fun trooper, and he's former FPD, a Fairbanks PD officer. Just really super guy, and he was a part of our criminal suppression unit, and it's just like they will tell stories about him for years to come.
Yeah, great guy.
And
And so we, speaking of outdoor stuff, we want to talk about helmets a little bit and ATVs and had some incidents happen there again, people not wearing helmets.
Yeah, there was a situation out in Unalakleet. I don't know all the details about this, but I do know that a trooper was on patrol out there in a outdoor area, and he came across a guy that just so had happened to have crashed a dirt bike and landed in some rocks and debris, and he didn't have a helmet on, and he was like had serious head trauma.
He just happened to be cruising.
Be coming along there and find this guy, and so he got medevaced out, and I don't know. They said last I heard he was in serious condition. And I thought to myself, you know, how many times during this career have I seen people seriously injured or dead with head trauma because they're not wearing a helmet?
And it's even more prevalent, I think, in the villages. They're just not used to ever. They didn't grow up not wearing them. So there's never hardly ever sold helmets in the villages.
Right.
Would recommend them, but people are kind of independent and I don't need that. And
Not like that, but they're like piling like six people on an ATV and ripping around. And like, I would say this, if it's predictable, it's preventable. And I hate doing next of kin notifications to a parent and saying, you know, yeah, I'm my duty to inform you, sadly, that your son or daughter is and that. And like, and then, and, you know, that's not the time to be telling someone to have their kids wear a helmet because they just lost their kid. But now's the time to tell you as parents, and if you're any kids are listening out there, wear a doggone helmet, please.
Yeah.
Like, put a helmet, protect that head. And as far as like, you know, Alaskans on motorcycles and helmet laws or no helmet laws or whatever, do whatever your life can put, can stand.
And
but
it's not just about speed. I have years ago, I remember when I was real young, 13 years old, working at the shop, pushing a broom. A guy walked in, he had a big Frankenstein scar on his cheek, you know, and he come in, bought parts and left. And I said, "What happened to that guy, Dad?" And he goes, "Well, he wasn't wearing a helmet." And he said he was going about 10 miles an hour down the trail, and his ski caught a pointed stick, and it came up the hood and went in his mouth and out his cheek.
Oh.
And it just, I mean, it tore his face.
Yep.
And I remember my dad saying, "You don't need to be going fast to need a helmet, right?"
No, you don't.
Because it's just protection. You can get whipped with something, you can get hit, you can get whatever. But, your head is basically an egg.
Man.
And that's what people need to remember.
Especially like in side-by-sides where you have a roll cage directly above your head.
Yep.
And
that's right.
So you're wearing your seatbelt, good. But guess what? There's still enough play in that seatbelt that if you go upside down, your head is only 3 or 4 inches up and you're going to hit that.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be careful there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's talk about some other stuff. You said there's an uptick in telephone scams.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to kind of reinforce this. I mean, if you don't know this already, you probably have been a victim of one of these scams. But here's the deal. When someone calls me on the phone, they call me or they text me. Number one, if you're texting me on my phone and you got some kind of like urgent thing, like, "Oh, this is DMV. You've got these unpaid tickets. If you don't pay them right now, they're gonna revoke your license
and your
gonna go to jail."
Now.
No, or like, it's not even the credit card thing. It's like, "I want you to go to Fred Meyer West, buy a bunch of gift cards, and then send them to this address." Like, come on. Like, are you kidding me? Like, we are never going to do that. And here's my advice to you. If someone calls you and they're like, you know, "I've got some kind of urgent thing, you have to do this." I'm like, "Look, I just don't do business over the phone."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I just don't do business over the phone.
Yeah.
We'll handle this in person. You're calling me. It's probably a scam. And I'll tell you what, I advise people not to engage when the scammer is doing this stuff. But what I'll do is when someone sends me a text message like that, I'll put it in all caps. I'm like, "God is watching you."
Well, you know, there's a lot. There's also the scams, the PayPal scams, a lot of those. Where they say your PayPal number is needs to be redone, your information needs. Anytime they want you to redo your password information, it's a scam.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Also, we tried to deliver a package and we had a problem and
this
and that. There's so many that appear, when you first look at them, they look legit. And then you just, you know, "I've never had those before." Just don't respond to them. That's the best thing.
There's some really good bait that they use. You know what I mean? They always make it some kind of urgent thing. Like, "You have to do this right away or it's going to be returned to sender." Like, so what? Whatever. And I don't even know what you're talking about.
Years ago, my grandmother, when she first got over into Denali Center, she was in a Pioneer home. I walked in there one day before we had to take her phone away and her credit card away. And I walked in there and there's like the whole room is full of boxes, cardboard boxes. And I said, "What are these, Grandma?" She goes, "I don't know." And I opened them up. There was 900 Just Say No to Drugs Frisbees.
Oh, my God.
95-year-old woman, and they're sending her Frisbees. So I got them sent back. I got them sent back, and, you know, shame on those people that did that. But anyway, we're talking with Captain Eric Spitzer. This is Craig Compo filling in for David Prues on the Problem Corner on a Tuesday. We got some people on hold. We got to go to a break, but stay on hold. We'll get you right when we get back, and we're going to try and stump the chump here.
Shouldn't be hard.
It won't be too hard. All right. Well, we'll be back right after these messages. So stick with us and we'll speak with the captain after the break.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Whether running a marathon or to the store, we all get aches and pains. Migraines, sports, injuries, spasticity can really put a hitch in your getup. Osteopathic manual medicine can help. Treating children to grandparents, Drs. Malcolm and Wright and McKinley Sports Medicine have over 27 years combined experience. Dr. Malcolm is Fairbanks' only board-certified sports medicine physician. Dr. Wright is double board-certified. OMM, FDM, Botox injections, and joint restorative treatments are exclusively available at one location, McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine.
Did you hear the good news? Idea Homeschool is opening an office in North Pole this fall. That means more local support for homeschoolers and easier access to the clubs, activities, and resources that Idea families love. Whether you live in North Pole or not, it's the perfect time to join Idea. You'll get a generous allotment, support from certified teachers who are homeschooling parents too, and freedom to direct your child's education. Stop by the Fairbanks Idea office this summer to learn more or visit ideahomeschool.org.
It's Derby season, which means it's time to head to Valdez and fish. Listen to KFAR Radio Monday through Saturday at 6:20, 7:20, or 11:15 for the Valdez Fishing Report. You'll get updates on the current standings along with the latest tips, hot spots, and techniques, and the stories from the anglers in Valdez. The Valdez Fish Report is proudly sponsored by Frontier Outfitters, Jiffy Lube, and 49 State Remodeling and Restoration. The Valdez Fishing Report on News Talk for the Interior, KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
KFAR weather.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 72. Winds out of the southwest 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight. Lows around 54. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Highs level off around 78. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, Craig Compo back with Captain Spitzer, and we have a phone call coming in. Let me see if I can get it on there. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hi, Craig. This is Melody calling, and I wanted to give an update on Neighborhood Watch to Captain Spitzer.
Oh, go right ahead. Thanks for calling, Melanie.
Oh, you're welcome. So, Captain Spitzer, it's been 12 months since we put up our neighborhood watch signs, and you're the one that told us to add the video surveillance with the eyeball neighborhood watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed a significant reduced amount of people loitering in our dead end, our cul-de-sac.
Oh, I know who you are, Melanie.
Yeah. And everybody has noticed that, not just during the school year, but this summer. So people come in there and they see those signs and the surveillance, video surveillance, and they do a quick U-turn. So there's no loitering back there.
Excellent. I'm glad that worked out. Glad to hear that worked out well. We increased some patrols, but I don't want to say where your neighborhood is, but I know right where you are, and I remember this interaction. I'm glad that's working out well. You know, another thing that you can do with your neighborhood is actually get together with a couple of your neighbors, a couple of folks that you know well, and just make like an email, just have like a common group email address, like where you include everybody, and then you can email once each other, like, hey, I saw this vehicle come in, and you can share photos and information, and like, hey, does anybody know what's going on with this thing over here, or what's with this dog that's running loose with the chain, you know, 3 feet of chain off its neck, like, and you can like just like the sharing of information is critical if you're going to have an effective neighborhood watch.
I wanted to tell you what we ended up doing was because we wanted to do it in real time, so we created group text.
Oh, okay.
And that way we can share in real time what's going on, what we're seeing, and include photos.
Excellent. Even better.
Yeah, group text. Yeah, it works great. So we're very happy with your suggestion. It's working.
All right. Thumbs up.
Thank you.
That's great. Thanks for the call, Melanie. And that should be a message to anybody that has a neighborhood that wants to make it safer is to get involved like that, have a neighborhood watch program. One thing I won't say where it is, but in my neighborhood and in a second piece of property area, recreational area I have. I bought a couple of $75 game cameras.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the woods. I assume they'll get stolen sometime, but they're pointing towards the entrance and exit of that area.
Yep.
And the nice thing there is if somebody goes, hey, somebody stole my, you know, four-wheeler,
mm-hmm.
at least we can go back on that day and look at the vehicles that are coming in and out. Now, you may not be able to get a license plate, but you can see the color of the vehicle.
Yep.
You can see the type of vehicle. You can at least report that. So if there's suspicious activity with a similar vehicle, maybe that's where the four-wheeler is, right?
Yeah, I love when people do that. It's almost like, I always joke around that it's like having a time machine that has only reverse.
Yeah, yeah. We got another caller. Let me check and see. See if I can get him on here. Hi, this is Craig. You got a question for Captain Spitzer? Whoops, may have lost that guy. Let's try that. Are you there, caller? No, I guess I lost him. So anyway, try calling back. I'm a little clumsy with this phone system still. So anyway.
Request lines are now open.
Yeah, yeah, lines are open. 458-8255 if you got a question for Captain Spitzer. We got about 10 minutes and... think of your best one. Whether you've got a compliment or a complaint, he'll take them all, right? The buck stops here. So
yeah, it sure does.
Anyway, you want to try and do that. Talk about ready reports.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about
so,
that?
So ready reports. Report every dangerous driver immediately is a good way to kind of cut down on DUIs, intoxicated or people driving under the influence, drugs or alcohol. And if you call 451-5100, to report that, that really helps us out. One thing that I want to mention on the air is that, man, we get a bunch of them coming from Chena Hot Springs Road right around mile 4. And I'll tell you why. It's because there's a bunch of frost heaves right in that area. And the daily drivers are like, you know, they don't want to spill their coffee. So they go way over across the fog line into the shoulder of the road. And they kind of go around those frost heaves. And then get back on the thing. And what inevitably, there's several callers
they
every
think
morning.
They're drunk
like,
drivers.
Oh, there's drunk drivers at 7:30 in the morning.
All right.
And
okay, that's good. I think we got the phones working here. This is Craig with Problem Corner. Your name is?
My name's John.
Yeah, go ahead, John. You've got a question for Captain Spitzer?
Yeah, I've got a son-in-law in Special Forces. He's interested in Alaska State Troopers when he gets out.
Great.
Can he run the upper guidelines for age limits for application and stuff like that?
Well, I'll tell you this. I worked at our academy for 8 years, and during those 8 years, I saw guys that were 54, 56. 50, I saw one that was 57 years old, made it through our academy. And, I mean, he was a stud. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy was in shape and was prior military. But as far as I know, we don't have an upper age limit. I mean, I know troopers that are – well into their 60s that are still, you know, happily working. Like, in fact, Lance Stahlke just retired recently. He was a MMIP investigator, and, like, he was, like, 67, I think.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, he looked really happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So listen, if you're serious about that, come down to Pegger Road, 19, you know, the cop shop there on Pegger. Stop in there and ask for me. Or if I'm not there, just talk to any of the, you know, sergeant or above or even a trooper, whatever. Like, we all are recruiters and we're all looking for qualified applicants. And when you start talking about special forces background and stuff like that, that gets my attention. And that sounds like somebody who needs to be a trooper.
Yeah, he's mid-30s, and he's got about 2.5 more years active. So then I'm just trying to get information for him, stuff like that.
Outstanding.
All right, well, thank you for the call. All right, and we're going to try another call here. Yeah, this is Craig, and your name is? Your name is beep, 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 beep. Hello, Mr. R2D2. Yeah, that line's all screwed up. Okay, well, good to know. Let me try and get rid of that. Okay. Yeah, so that's good. You get a recruitment possibility right on the show here. You know, try and get some mid-30s. That's a good age.
You've got a lot of piss and vinegar left.
Your party year is a little bit behind you.
Yeah.
You're in good physical shape. Your mental faculty should be good.
So. A lot of life experience. Maybe some combat experience. Maybe, you know, a lot of maturity. Should come
out of leadership experience. I tell people that I've talked to, I said, you know what? The neat part about this is it's not like you're going to work for the Chicago PD. You got a thing going on here in this town. So you got some excitement. You got some wins. You got a lot of wins.
Oh, man.
And so it's kind of an upbeat place to work, I would think. I mean, people are have a lot of people I know have changed their complete opinion about this, and leadership does that, and good recruits do that.
Yep.
Good pay does that, mm-hmm. and so you've got all those things going for you. So that's kind of a neat deal, huh?
It is really fulfilling. I'll say this. I mean, I could have retired 5 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't need to keep coming, but it's like you just keep coming back because it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. There's some bad things too. You're like, oh man, that really sucked. But for the most part, I mean, like every day, I can't wait to get to the office and like, okay, what's it going to be? What are we going to be doing today? What problem are we going to be solving? So,
well, and also, you got some new toys you get to play with, right? Didn't you have some net for the tire?
Bringing up the grappler.
The grappler.
Yeah.
That's not a ride at the fair.
No, it's not a pro wrestler that we're bringing up here. Basically, what it is we got a lot of stolen vehicles here. In fact, every day in Anchorage, there's like 8 vehicles get stolen in Anchorage.
Wow.
A lot of times those vehicles come up here. A lot of times we have vehicles stolen here. And guess what? When we turn the cherries and berries on, people don't want to stop when they know they're driving a stolen vehicle.
Yeah.
So they want to make a run for the border somewhere and get away. And then usually what happens is the car gets all banged up, gets a pit, precision interdiction, and the car gets all dinged up. And it's dangerous to everybody else that's out on the road. So this grappler is basically, in essence, it just grabs one of those tires real good and wads it up with like this like netting. It's like a very similar to toe straps, you know, those yellow toe straps. And it like gets all wadded up there. And it's safer for the community.
Sure.
It's safer for the driver in the vehicle, the bad guy that's driving the stolen vehicle or whatever his issue is. Why he doesn't want to stop. It's safer for the police officer. It's safer for the commuters
Does
that
take
are around.
Much training?
Not a bunch. Not a bunch. I mean, it's pretty, you know.
You have to kind of point it from the driver's seat?
You're driving your patrol car and you're getting real close to it. And then you just deploy this little guy and it like, it's like having to catch a big halibut.
Yeah. And I asked you earlier about that a few days ago. Could you use it on a four-wheeler? Yeah. He goes, we wouldn't do it. Send the guy right over the bars.
Yeah.
Especially if he doesn't have a helmet on.
You definitely want to have a seatbelt on when this thing gets deployed. Yeah.
I've followed some of this new technology that is coming up for law enforcement. And a lot of this with the modern electronics and some of this stuff is pretty cool. They got some neat stuff.
You know, and there's a pro, there's a con to each thing. Like we have the spike sticks. That's great. They pop the tires. But the deal is a lot of these guys will just keep running on pop tires and running on the rims, you know?
Well, yeah, they're desperate to get away.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to bring up. So somebody sent me a video the other day and I didn't realize it wasn't new. It was from 2023.
Yep.
And if you haven't seen it, you want to watch it. I think you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, we got a minute or two left. Talk about that. Yeah, that was 2023.
Yeah, that was in Healy and our criminal suppression unit, drug unit. And then the Healy troopers were up there and interdicting this bunch of methamphetamine coming back from Anchorage. And the synopsis is a guy didn't want to stop when he got spiked.
In the passenger seat. His girlfriend.
Yeah, and the gal. He wanted to kind of bang it out with us. And he's shooting, he had 2 9mm. He's shooting 9mm at the trooper car
and this is all caught on
all on video,
video
yeah.
cam, yeah.
And
pretty exciting.
There's Norris, one of my favorite troopers, the guy is shooting at us. So Norris returns fire with his 12-gauge shotgun through his own windshield. He shoots a hole in his windshield and returns fire.
Wow.
To the suspect vehicle, and then.
It
doesn't
driver.
End well for the bad guy. Yeah,
but I mean, it's an amazing video to watch, and it kind of shows you not just how exciting the day in the life of the trooper is. There's some risk there.
Yeah,
you know, you got to be on your game. You can't just be. You got to be focused. And these guys did a great job. And they got this guy stopped. They, you know, he's the one that decided to not walk away from the thing or get handcuffed.
Yeah,
the gal was pretty shook up.
The suspect always has a say.
Yeah,
in how it ends, you know.
Yeah.
He could have pulled over any number of times.
Yeah, and he chose not to.
He didn't have to shoot at us either.
Yeah. Well, I want to say thanks a lot, Captain Spitzer, for coming on the show. We'll have you on in a month again or so and find out what's new. Hopefully business slows down a little bit, but you're putting a big dent in it. So anyway, thanks a lot. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show, or with Bob and Porter. We will see you on the Compo Show Saturday.